Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the voice of the American Redoubt. Welcome to the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and it is a blessing to have all of you with us this morning. Thank you guys for tuning in on 96.5 FM and on the AM dial at 6:30 AM. And last but not least, our live listening streaming audience on the internet. And many of you in occupied territory, thank you guys for joining us as well. Oh, well, let's see here. It is a, this is just an amazing time to be alive. Wouldn't you agree? I was so encouraged by this speech by President Trump this week. It made me, I guess I was very pleased that I voted for him. wow. He is doing a great job. Of course, you know, the, Southern Poverty Law Center is saying his, was it them? Maybe I was reading another article by them linked to something else. Anyway, some leftist group saying his ratings are plummeting, but that's a lie, which is pretty much what you can expect. His ratings are actually going up and up. But I want to talk about that too today. Trump worship. We as God-fearing, freedom-loving Christian patriots need to keep a proper perspective and a balance. And I'm going to talk about that. I want to share something with you that I got from Wall Builders. Now, Wall Builders is a Christian heritage, American heritage history website project ministry by Dave Barton. And they do such an amazing job. I subscribe to them and I promote them. Don't get anything in return for it. I love what they do, and it needs to be in the hands of as many Americans as possible. There's several outreaches and ministries that fall into that category for me that I just I just want the people to have their hands on this, the access to this information. We also air Wall Builders live right before the John Jacob Schmidt Show, the podcast, each Sunday evening. And right before that is Chrisanne Hall and her podcast. But this came to me from Wall Builders. It's called An American Story. And this is in reference to the Star Spangled Banner. Because yesterday, March 3rd, marked the 86-year anniversary. In 1931... an act of Congress made the Star-Spangled Banner America's official national anthem. So, in celebration of this important event, we invite you to study the song and the reason it was written. I'm reading to you from the posting at Wall Builders. Following the American Revolution, Americans hoped to live in peace, but France and England became engaged in a conflict that drew America back into war. The British captured American ships on the high seas and forced American sailors, around 10,000 of them, to fight for England. The United States declared war, known as the War of 1812. It lasted until 1815. In August of 1814, England invaded Washington, D.C., setting fire to the Capitol, the White House, and other government buildings. Did you guys know about this? Or have you forgotten about this? The British then marched to Baltimore, Maryland, and on September 13th began bombarding Fort McHenry. At that time, an attorney by the name of Francis Scott Key was aboard a British ship negotiating the release of a friend. Throughout the long night, he watched the attack on Fort McHenry, fearing its fall. But when morning arrived, the American flag was still flying. The fort had survived the attack. Inspired by these events, Francis Scott Key wrote down a few lines about the attack while still on board the ship, and then wrote several more lines after reaching shore. Shortly thereafter, they were published as a poem titled Defense of Fort McHenry. Set to music in November of that year, it was named the Star-Spangled Banner. Many people mistakenly believe that the Star-Spangled Banner is in reference to the Revolutionary War, a battle which took place in the Revolutionary War, but that's not true. You can go to wallbuilders.com to read the rest of this article and more information about your heritage and the history of America. But fascinating and amazing song that is known worldwide. Now, speaking of flags, our flag still being there, there is a poll at radiofreeredoubt.com. It is a parallel poll, the same poll that's going on to a closed Facebook group for the State of Liberty. This is the movement to form the 51st state, where those of us on the east side of the mountains are sick of being tyrannized by the liberal, communist, globalist leftists on the left side of the mountains and wish to break free from the chains of tyranny and form another state, which is perfectly legal and constitutional to do. There's a process to do that. Well, this year in legislation, the measure failed to get out of committee for the state, Washington State Legislature, to vote on it. However, even though this measure may be dead for this year, we have 1 year between now and the next legislature to build the momentum, to engage in a public information campaign, and excite those overwhelming majority conservatives on the east side to consider rallying behind the idea of forming a 51st state, the State of Liberty, which would reflect the conservative values of the citizens on the east side of the state that are misrepresented or they're represented, but they're overran by the majority of the legislators on the west side of the state. So anyway, this is your chance to vote for the flag that you would want to have flying in your state capital if the 51st state, the State of Liberty, became a realized dream. So you get a chance to do that. We had a professional designer design a flag, multiple options. I think there's 10 choices to choose from based on input from several people on what the flag should contain, what the symbology should be. A flag that we can rally behind as a symbol of our breaking point, where we no longer want to live under the tyranny of the western part of the state. And also designed is our 10 options for a state seal. I want to invite you to please, this week, the poll goes until Tuesday at midnight, I believe, or Wednesday. I believe it's Tuesday night, midnight. So you got but 4 days to get to radiofreeredoubt.com and vote on your choice for a flag and a state seal for the State of Liberty. If you could do that, would be greatly appreciated. We're going to compare that to the poll that's already also underway over at the Movement for the 51st State Facebook page. So thank you for that. Now, there's something that came out over at Zero Hedge that I just had to share with you. Navy punishes special warfare unit for flying the Trump flag in a military convoy. I'm looking at this picture of a armored vehicle driving down the highway with a huge, probably 2-foot by 4-foot flag, at least, maybe 3-foot by 5-foot flag that says Trump, make America great again. Blue with white lettering. Well, some liberal fascist began clawing their eyes out and writhing and frothing at the mouth and managed in all of that to take a picture of it so that they could complain. Well, about a month ago, the Naval Special Warfare Group 2 of Virginia Beach, in a convoy, got their picture taken driving down the highway. So, a month later, Lieutenant Jackie Maxwell announced that the world can go on spinning again because some of America's finest soldiers have been appropriately disciplined for their heinous crime. According to the Washington Post, Lieutenant Jackie Maxwell, a spokeswoman for the Naval Special Warfare Group 2, said that punitive actions were taken but declined to comment on the precise nature of the punishment or how many individuals were affected. This, I assure you, was an appeasement move. The special operations community are not leftists. They are intelligent, they are educated, and they are usually very politically conservative. Trump did not have very many fans. Notable fan base in the military, and especially in the special operations community. So they're flying this flag. I can imagine what the punitive damages were. Hold your hand out. Okay, don't do that again in public, because we got to deal with this. Public affairs is trying to figure out, you know, how to keep people's hair from bursting into flames. So. And, you know, granted, it is not authorized to fly any flag other than the American flag that I'm aware of, except for the unit's guidon on a vehicle. So I don't know what the precise military regulations are. I'm fairly certain this is out of regulation. So I can imagine what the punitive measures were. They're not saying good. Because the leftists would be furious. Why don't they just, what they should do, if they were really going to be in line with the leftist modus operandi, what they should do is fine the soldiers $132,000 for the emotional damage they've caused to the liberal that had to see a Trump flag flying on a military vehicle. But guess what? That is their commander in chief. He is the highest level commander in the chain of command in the military. They're flying the name of their commander in chief. You know that. The president is in every military member's chain of command. He is at the top. So they're flying their commander's name. This kind of reminds me of like King David. Now, I am making a comparison between Trump and King David, but I'm not trying to imply that Trump is a King David. But when you see your commander in chief, that you can actually be, you can celebrate that he's in command, that you are under his command, that really speaks volumes. Well, somebody brought up something. A young listener, a gal, said, I'm really concerned about all the Trump worship, people worshiping Trump and not glorifying God, and all of this Trump worship is going to, you know, lead to our demise. Now, I've warned about this as well. We want to make sure that our celebrations are correctly placed. I want to point you to a scripture. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn or groan, depending on what version you're reading. This is the American King James Version that I just quoted. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. We've been mourning for 8 years, except for the wicked. They've been rejoicing for the last 8 years, but now they're groaning. But who cares? The righteous are in authority. Now, does that mean Trump's righteous? Well, the word righteous means to do what is right. It doesn't mean he's a saint. It doesn't mean he's perfect. It doesn't mean any of us are. When you do what's right, that is righteous. When you do the right thing, especially when it is in line with God's law. So he's doing what's righteous. And guess what? There are people that are rejoicing. But do we want to place that on Trump? We do not want to worship Trump. We want to be careful that you do not. But we should rejoice in the Lord because a righteous person is in authority. And we are so grateful that Hillary failed in her attempt to take control of this country. I guarantee you would not see a Hillary flag flying on any military vehicle, much less special operations vehicles. Guarantee it. So we celebrate, I celebrated when Hillary lost. I didn't care if Trump won. I just cared that she lost. There's another scripture. Somebody sent this to me, a men's group of patriots that I'm involved in, and we share things with each other. And one of the scriptures one of the guys posted was Proverbs 24:17-20. It says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and displease him. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked, nor be envious for where there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out." So we celebrate that the lamp of the wicked was put out in November, and she didn't get a chance to take control. But are we supposed to not rejoice when the enemy fails? It's a heart issue. And really, I mean, I can understand this. I'm punishing one of the kids, and I see one of the other kids looking around the corner, pointing and giggling. Oh, don't you even point and giggle, because I'm going to beat your butt. Matter of fact, you're going to get the rest of the punishment this one was getting because of that, right? And that's where it is. So we should celebrate when the righteous prevail. But this is a tough one that challenges all of us. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls and when they stumble. I did. But the right thing is to lift them up in prayer. And that's a hard thing to do. But still, there's nothing wrong with rejoicing when the righteous prevail, and we rejoice in the Lord, we give him the thanks. We don't worship Trump, we worship the Lord. We give thanks to the Lord, we don't look in awe at Trump. And in Psalm 60:11-12, it says, "Oh, give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is in vain. Through God we shall do valiantly, and it is he who will tread down our adversaries." You see where the glory is being given? Not to Trump, not to your human leader, but to God for trampling down the adversaries. So there's nothing wrong with praying for the defeat of our adversaries, but make sure when we are delivered from our adversaries that we properly place the praise. And we saw examples like in 1 Samuel 18, when David was returning from battle, the women started singing and playing instruments, and they're screaming, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." Well, that just infuriated. That caused problems. That's when Saul started hating David. And maybe it was because they were placing too much on David and not so much the Lord. something to think about. All right, we come back. I'm going to give you more to think about. We're going to talk about the Southern Poverty Law Center and some of their shenanigans when we come back right here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Some of you may be asking yourselves, why should we be bothered with developing citizenship responsibilities? Well, there are many reasons. One of the primary reasons is that great principles do not live from generation to generation without being nurtured, without being kept vigorously alive. Unless we understand and work effectively for the principles upon which our American way of life is founded, the structure will crumble and our heritage of freedom will perish.
There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come! I repeat it, sir. Let it come! It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace. But there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The Voice of the American Redoubt. Radio. Free. Redoubt.
Welcome back to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This final segment is brought to you by RiverfrontSuites.com, Patriot-owned business. Beautiful little suites, little cabins, private getaway on the St. Joe River right outside of St. Mary's. If you need a place to get away, check out RiverfrontSuites.com today. All right. Now, in the last few minutes, I want to talk about this left-wing propaganda machine called the Southern Poverty Law Center, looking out for the oppressed. Although they're hypocritical in their coverage, they haven't covered anything that I've seen about the Black Lives Matter. I haven't seen them go after any of these other leftist hate groups, calling for violence even. I haven't seen them denounce them, but they go after the Family Research Council because they promote marriage as being between one man and one woman. So they're labeled as a hate group. Amazing. So these guys now, they have a huge growth in anti-Muslim hate groups during 2016, they're saying. This SPLC report was read by several news agencies, but they're liars and disingenuous at best. This is really interesting. Now, you guys understand what this is from the Act for America website. Which is, ACT, Act for America. I got this off their website. So they've labeled not Act for America as a hate group. What they've done is let me pull this up here. Okay. So now they're saying that the number of hate groups has skyrocketed. Islamophobic hate groups. In fact, attributing it largely to Trump and his rhetoric, the populist rhetoric, they're claiming that hate groups, anti-Muslim hate groups, shot up from only 34 in 2015 to 101 in 2016. That's almost a 300% growth in hate, anti-Muslim hate groups just from 2015 to 2016. Could it be true? Well, no, it's actually not. And these guys are busted. There's actually another phenomenon responsible for this startling rise reported by the SPLC. The SPLC decided to count 45 chapters of Act for America as separate groups. So how do you get a sudden rise from 34 to 101 hate groups? Well, it helps to suddenly add 45 chapters of one group. Act for America isn't a hate group. It's only just as obviously as not 45 groups. And it didn't come into existence last year either. So, Act for America was only listed as one group in the 2015 list. It shot up to 45 now because they're counting each of the individual chapters as hate groups so they can justify their existence at the SPLC. The SPLC this year listed the Los Angeles chapter of Act for America as a separate group, but the chapter has been around for quite a few years. Furthermore, Act for America boasts not 45, but 1,000 chapters across the country. Why list just 45 of them? Well, look at it from the SPLC's perspective. Next year, it can add 200 chapters and claim the anti-Muslim hate groups once again tripled. And then it can do the same thing again the year after that. That way, the Southern Poverty Law Center can keep manufacturing an imaginary Islamophobia crisis. Also added to the list is Ultra Firearms, a gun store that ran an ad declaring that it wouldn't sell firearms to Clinton supporters or Muslims. These guys are just incredible. Well, they give us plenty of fodder anyway to cover each week. Well, we're going to pick up where we left off Sunday night for our weekly podcast at 8 p.m. at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. Look forward to seeing you there. Until then, you have a blessed weekend. This is John Jacob Schmidt out.